34.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here this afternoon. Melissa Cribbins is with us, the new Executive Director of Communities for Healthy Forests. Melissa, thanks for being on with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So I guess at the front end of things, tell us a little bit about your background, some of the other things that you've done over time.
Sure. So for the last 10 years, I've actually been a Coos County Commissioner, and Coos County owns and manages about 17,000 acres of forest. And before that, I've had an interesting past. I'm a licensed attorney, and I also, a long time ago, back when I was still in college, worked as a wildland firefighter for the Forest Service and for Coos Forest Protective Association. Go ahead.
Well, so you've really seen this whole issue from a lot of different vantage points then.
I really have. And this is, you know, this is an issue that really needs attention, especially in Oregon, although the entire western half of the United States is clearly heavily impacted by the forest management decisions that are made in Washington, D.C.
Now, when did your time as a Coos County Commissioner wrap up?
It wrapped up actually at the end of December 2022.
So going right from that into the new role, and I'm curious, how did that come together? Did you have it when you left your commissioner post? Did you have something planned? Did you hope to have this planned?
I did not have this planned. Like so many of the best things in life, it was something that someone else reached out and suggested to me that I might be a good fit for. I have worked closely with the Douglas County Commissioners the whole time I've been a commissioner. Coos, Curry, and Douglas counties share a lot of common interests. We share a lot of common industry, and Coos County spends a lot of time discussing the Coos Bay Wagon Road lands. And so I had worked closely with the Douglas County Commissioners on that and other timber management issues. There are so many different timber management issues in Oregon that there's plenty of opportunity to work together. And after I stopped being a commissioner, Doug Robertson reached out to me and asked if I would potentially be interested in meeting with the Communities for Healthy Forest Board to discuss their position of executive director.
Now, since you've taken over this role, what do you sort of anticipate your focus being in the next year?
My real focus is on broadening the audience for Communities for Healthy Forest. What we're talking about is so important. You know, we are talking about the fact that these forests, these federal forests, are essentially not being managed in rural Oregon. And I don't know anybody in rural Oregon that disagrees with me on this. We all agree that federal forest management is critical for the livelihood of our communities and our citizens and for all of our safety. Unfortunately, our message is... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Unfortunately, our message is not being heard in the places where so many of those decisions are made, like Portland and Salem and Washington, D.C. And we just need to be reaching out and making sure that those decision makers in those areas are hearing our concerns and are understanding the impacts on the ground here.
And Communities for Healthy Forests started back in 2003. What can you talk about in terms of just updating people who maybe are not as familiar with the actual organization itself about how it got started and some of the things about what led to it being being an organization?
Absolutely. Communities for Healthy Forests was actually established in 2003 after a tour of the North Umpqua drainage of a forest that suffered from a wildfire the year before. And the tour attendees looked around and couldn't believe how much damage had been done and that the area had not been reforested. And so they agreed that it was critical to make sure that the federal government understood the need to restore the burned landscape and to understand the reasons why the burned landscape wasn't being restored. And so they have worked tirelessly, and there has been some great work done by Communities for Healthy Forests to date in order to make sure that our voice is being heard and that these issues are being addressed.
Do you feel at all that the 2020 wildfires brought some of these issues more to the forefront and perhaps even broadened the number of people that are open to listening to the points that your organization is making?
Yes, of course I do. And my concern is that we will go through another round of wildfires and have to talk about how those are important for bringing the issue to the forefront. And frankly, I would love it if, you know, the good example that Douglas provides of what happens when you don't manage federal forests ends with the 2020 wildfires. We need to make sure that people are seeing the impact of those fires and seeing how hard it is on the communities.
And as you look into the next year, you talked about broadening the message out. What are some of the ideas that you have for doing that?
Well, we would like to broaden our board. We would like to have more people engaged. We would like to give opportunities for our citizens to engage and make sure that their message is heard in places where these decisions about management are being made. Because one of the things that we know from living in rural Oregon is that our local BLM employees, our local Forest Service employees, frankly, they pretty much agree that these catastrophic wildfires are a problem and the impact is a problem. Unfortunately, the decisions that are being made that impact our citizens are happening in other places other than rural Oregon. And so we want to provide people an opportunity to engage and have their voice heard.
Now, one of the points over the number of years that we've covered this issue from a lot of different areas has been the fact that when you're dealing with the federal level of government, it really starts with the administration that's in power at the time, because it's kind of a top-down change into top leadership. Every time a new president goes in, new people go in to organize a department or lead a certain area. And you're essentially starting over in many cases with trying to make your point.
That's absolutely true. We also have, some great federal representatives in Oregon, ones that have worked a long time and have been in power for a while. And, one of the things that we don't expect to agree with our federal senators or our federal representatives on everything, but we do need to be able to say, these are the areas where we agree, and these are our concerns. And our job is really to make sure that our federal senators and representatives understand what the impacts are of the policies that they choose to pass and the impacts of them on the ground.
Now, what about some of the changes that have been put out there or at least are in motion as being considered by some of the different organizations for dealing with, for instance, thinning in forest areas, both on federal and land under other jurisdictions?
Do you mean like the Good Neighbor Policy?
Well, we've heard it from different forest agencies. Senator Wyden has talked about different ideas. And sometimes it's a little unclear if everybody, when they say thinning, if everybody actually means the same thing.
Right. You make a great point. And I think that's one of the challenges we have in federal forest management policy generally, is getting everybody on the same page with definitions. I may mean one thing when I talk about old growth, and somebody else may mean it something entirely different. And the same goes with thinning. When we have these conversations, it would be great if we could all understand the definitions of, the policies that we're talking about. And so, that's always our first hurdle. And the second hurdle is, of course, as you've identified, there are a lot of different potential policies out there. I think the important part for Communities for Healthy Forests is that we do a good job of vetting the potential bills that are out there. The ones that have been introduced, you mentioned Senator Wyden. He has a bill out right now that was recently introduced with Senator Feinstein and two other co-sponsors. It's a bipartisan bill, and it's really aiming at increasing removal of fuels in the forest and reducing the risk of catastrophic wildfires. You know, we don't have to agree with every bit of that bill, but I think it's important that we give Senator Wyden feedback on the parts that we think really do help with conditions on the ground and how we believe that this bill could impact conditions on the ground, particularly in Douglas County.
All right, we're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Melissa Cribbins, the new Executive Director of Communities for Healthy Forests, the interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 on Inside Douglas County from News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. True Wealth Radio coming up, part of KQEN Local Talk. That will be at 4 on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. This essentially becomes a two-part series because our conversation tomorrow will be with Doug Robertson, the new executive director of the Association of ONC Counties, previous lead voice for Communities for Healthy Forests since 2019, Melissa Cribbins taking that role the beginning of the year as the new executive director. She joins us now from over on the Oregon coast. And I notice in looking at the information about you as your appointment and start on this new position was announced, your background in a lot of other areas, including being on the advisory committee of the Elliott State Forest. Talk about that.
Yeah, I was asked to join the advisory committee for the Elliott State Forest, I believe, 4 years ago. I grew up in Coos County and graduated from high school in 1990, which was the year after the spotted owl was listed. As I have told the Department of State Lands many times, I don't remember a time when the Elliott was not controversial. And so many people in Coos and Douglas counties see the Elliott as their backyard. It's the place where, you know, we go and we hunt and we fish and we recreate. And there have been so many changes to the private forests in the last few years. It's more important than ever that we keep the public forest public and we make sure that our citizens have access to those public forests and that they're able to, you know, do the things that they've always done in there. The Elliott's such a great example because it's such a traditional area for people to have areas where they've always deer hunted or elk hunted. And I will say, if I've ever seen an issue that united people across the spectrum, it was the issue of keeping the Elliott public.
And as well, you've served on the Land Conservation and Development Commission, past president of Association of Oregon Counties. A lot of other things as well. Does it sound like you probably have a lot of free time over the years?
I have a checkered past. I grew up in Coos County. I actually grew up in Coquille, about 9 miles outside of Coquille, towards Laverne Park. My family is from Oregon, and I am really only the first generation removed from working in the woods in my family. And so I've seen this as my way of giving back. I love Oregon, and I feel like it has given me many opportunities. And I was raised to believe that public service is part of what you do when you're able in order to show your gratitude to the place that raised you.
I'm curious what your thoughts were when we had the 2020 fires with all your background dealing with forestry issues. How did that one hit you?
I think that the catastrophic fires, such as the ones that happened in 2020, you know, I can't help but look at them as an Oregonian and, of course, as a mother and just realize how frightening they are to our citizens. Just talking to people who had to go through the fires, who had to worry about losing their home and who had to evacuate, people that were dealing with the amount of smoke that came from the fires. It, honestly, it can't help but tear at your heart. If you don't feel emotional over that, then I don't know what you feel emotional over. Realizing that this is such an issue for people. This is something that hits people right at home where they live, and we have to figure out a solution.
And as we've watched the forest area east of Roseburg here in the Archie Creek Fire Zone over the last couple of years, people have talked about up the road, and you realize even if you have very little knowledge of forests, that it's going to be many decades before that area looks anywhere like it did, anything like it did the day before that fire.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It will take a generation. I don't know how old you are. I know I am not. I am not young enough to ever see that forest go back to looking the way it is. It did prior to the fires.
And does that spur you to work harder on some of these issues?
Of course it does. As I mentioned, you know, I am a lifelong Oregonian. I have children. I would like to leave Oregon in a better place than it, you know, than where I found it. I think all the time about the legacy we leave and the importance of the work we do. Communities for Healthy Forests is all about that. It's about legacy. It's about making sure that we in rural Oregon are telling our own story, because we've allowed it to be told for us way too long. And one of my memories is when I was in my 20s, I was coming back from somewhere and I was on Highway 42. And when I got home, I was having a conversation with a relative who did not live in state, lived in Arizona. And they said, "Do you still have trees in Oregon? Because I thought on the news they cut them all down." And it's just so important that people realize, yes, we have trees in Oregon. You know, we are great timber managers. We do a good job with our forests. We are responsible and we are resourceful. And we want the federal government to be as good a neighbor to us as we try to be for them.
There's a lot of different groups that have been involved in these issues, from environmental groups that people are very familiar with, timber industry groups that people may know about quite likely as well. What's different about being a nonprofit and just sort of the niche of Communities for Healthy Forests?
Communities for Healthy Forests truly represents the community across the spectrum. And I think that's what really makes us different. We are not an industry group. We are not a special interest group. We are a group that is truly a group of citizens that saw a problem that is trying to help find a solution. And we realize that our voices are stronger when we're together, and that we need to make sure that we are coming together with common sense solutions for improving the health of rural Oregon.
Now, as a nonprofit, you've got a board of directors. Talk about how many people are involved in that and some of the backgrounds they have.
We have a varying number of board of directors, as does any nonprofit organization. And we have about 30 people that are actively engaged and working on forest education at this time. And it is a varied background. We have, you know, retired BLM employees. We have retired DFPA employees. We have people that have never worked in the forest industry, retired respiratory therapists, and people just from all across the spectrum that have seen the impacts that failed forest management policies have had for rural Oregon. We, of course, always welcome more people. If anybody out there is listening and they're interested, I encourage them to take a look at our website, communitiesforhealthyforests.com, and there's a spot on there for join us. We are always welcoming more members, and I think our voices only get stronger when they are together.
Now, as you take on this new role, we've got about a minute left on Inside Douglas County. What are the things you've already begun working on in particular just in the recent few weeks you've been as the executive director?
And we are working on updating a lot of our communications. We have a new strategic plan. We're looking to engage more board members in order to make sure that we do have all those voices across the spectrum. Because one of the things I didn't even mention is the impact of all this wildfire smoke on tourism, which anybody knows that has tried to make a living in any visitor-based business over the last 5 years in Oregon. We really welcome more people from those industries to join us. And I really feel like Communities for Healthy Forests, we have a really strong foundation that was built by Doug Robertson and previous executive directors. We are moving forward. Our goal is to educate people on responsible forest management and how federal forests contribute to the health of the community. And I'm just really excited and optimistic about the organization as we move forward.
All right, Melissa Cribbins, the new Chief Executive Director of Communities for Healthy Forests. Doug Robertson will be joining us tomorrow. Melissa, thanks for being on today.
Thanks for having me. Have a
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.